Coming up next, Howard Holly presents Against All Odds. And now your host, Howard Holly.
Good morning, and welcome to another beautiful Saturday morning from Flagler County, Florida. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds, How Successful People Overcome Adversity. And I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Howard.
So, Kristen, let's talk a little bit about our broadcast last week. It was a different broadcast than normal. We didn't have a guest.
It was. We did our quarterly capstone episode. So we went back and we talked about all the past guests that we've had on the air the past quarter, what we learned from them, and what common themes we heard as we listened to each of their stories. So if you guys missed that, you can listen to it on our website. It's howardhollypresents.com, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you search for Howard Holly Presents in the iTunes store, you'll see all of those episodes we talked about, plus the capstone episode.
Absolutely. And I think we're getting a very good traction on Facebook the last couple of weeks. I've noticed the report and the results.
They are. More people are interacting with us. More people are seeing our posts. You can like us. We're Howard Holly Presents on Facebook. And we're also on Twitter. We're Holly Presents.
Okay. Great, great. Well, we're here this morning with a new guest to start off this quarter. And that guest is Dr. William Hebert. He is the president of Flagler College. Welcome, Dr. Hebert.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation to come down here and be on your show, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
Oh, thank you, sir. We really appreciate it. But first, let me say for those of you who may not know, we're going to talk about the college, but the college is in St. Augustine. It's in the center of the city. It's in a lovely building that I'm sure we're going to talk about, and I really appreciate Dr. Hebert coming down. Now, as you may remember, we indicated a few months ago that we're going to bring a number of the presidents of colleges here. We had Dr. Carl Eaton from Daytona State College here a few weeks ago, and now Dr. Hebert, and we have a couple of others coming up. So let's start off, Doctor, with how did you end up being a college president? What was your background? Was this something you were born to be?
not at all. I started my college career at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia, and I was the associate director of admissions at Mercer for 4 years. I left there and went to West Georgia College in Carrollton to be the director of admissions, and it's a long story, but I ended up taking on another role at West Georgia and stayed there only a year. And then an opportunity came up for me to come to Flagler College in 1971 as dean of admissions. And I served in that position for 18 years.
Wow.
And then I became, in 1989, I became the chief academic officer of the institution, vice president for academic affairs. Then a couple of years later, I became the executive vice president and dean of academic affairs. And I held that position until 2001 when I was appointed president of the college.
Now, if I remember correctly from a previous discussion that you and I had in your office in St. Augustine, the school opened in 1960. So when you got there, it had not been open that long.
Well, it actually opened in 1968.
68, yeah.
Yeah, they enrolled their first class in 1968, and when I came to Flagler in 1971, the college had not yet graduated its first class, and was because it is a requirement of the accrediting association that you graduate at least one class before you can be accredited. The college was not yet accredited, and it was an all-women's college originally. So when it was founded in 1968, it was founded as a women's institution, and it stayed that way until 1971 when I came, and it became coeducational.
Did the Flagler family have anything to do with the founding of the school?
Yes. Mr. Lawrence Lewis, Jr., who was the son of a favorite niece of Henry Flagler, actually founded the school. So, and he was from Richmond, Virginia, a very philanthropic individual. Without Lawrence Lewis, there would be no Flagler College.
Oh, that's interesting. So what's your background prior? I mean, I understand that you started at Mercer, and I think you might remember my sister graduated with her master's out of Mercer. But before you got to Mercer, did you plan to pursue a career in education, and when did you make that decision?
Well, actually, when I was in college, I started off as a pre-med student and decided probably in my junior year that was not something that I wanted to pursue because mm-hmm. I really didn't like chemistry. I didn't care for physics, and mm-hmm. there were some courses that I had to take that I really was not pleased with. And so in my junior year, I decided that I was going to go into education. And I was an athlete and had participated in athletics all of my life, and so I decided I was going to teach and coach. And I did that for 2 years. I taught chemistry and biology and coached football, basketball, and baseball for a couple of years. But after doing that for a couple of years, I decided that was not exactly my cup of tea and that I was not going to continue that as a career. And then I had an opportunity to go to work at Mercer in the admissions office. I jumped at that and found it very, very satisfying. The most important thing that I found was that I thoroughly enjoyed working on a college campus. I enjoyed the whole atmosphere. I enjoyed the culture. I enjoyed the students. I enjoyed college students as opposed to high school students. And so it was something that I knew immediately that I would enjoy a career in higher education. I wasn't sure at that point where that career was going to lead. And certainly when I came to Flagler in 1971, I was not thinking that was going to be the last move of my career.
Especially after you had moved two or three times already.
That's correct.
Yeah. So you spent 18 years in admissions.
Yes.
How has that changed between the time you were there and today?
Actually, college admissions, mm-hmm. Has not changed a lot in terms of recruitment and in terms of trying to get students to enroll at an institution. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest change today is social media. Mm-hmm. Students now are communicating more through other channels of mm-hmm. communication mm-hmm. and are not necessarily limited only to the channels that are developed by the institution. Mm-hmm. So Facebook is very much alive. Pinterest is alive. There are a number of other social media channels, and we really do have a number of challenges in that area in terms of communicating effectively and also in a timely manner with prospective students.
Mm-hmm. And you've got things today like virtual tours. That's a change because it reduces people, or it increases the number of schools you can visit.
It does, but like anything else, when you look at an ad on television, you're only seeing the very, very best of whatever you're yep. looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And so a virtual tour is not going to necessarily give the complete picture to a prospective student.
Mm-hmm.
So the campus visit is still a very key part of the overall student recruitment program. Mm-hmm. It was when I was dean of admissions. It is today.
And it will continue.
Yes.
Before we take a break, I often in the business community, if I'm talking to a chief marketing officer, we sort of agree that is the lowest tenure job in corporate America because it has the greatest degree of accountability.
Yes.
And in discussions I've had with some deans of admissions, they say that's a similar scenario in a college campus because that really is the engine that drives the institution. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. Most small private colleges today are very tuition dependent. So when you start looking at that, you realize that enrollment dictates everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an awful lot of pressure on directors of admissions, vice presidents for enrollment management. Mm-hmm. Anything that has to do with the enrollment retention of students mm-hmm. is of paramount interest and concern to colleges and universities. Presidents, vice presidents, boards of trustees, any of the stakeholders that we would have will talk about the importance of enrollment.
Absolutely. Well, you must have been exceedingly successful because you were able to hold on to that for 18 years, and that's very impressive. We're going to break for a word from our sponsors, and you will be right back. You are listening to Against All Odds with our guest, Dr. William Hebert from Flagler College. We'll be right back.
Greetings, this is Cindy DeLecky from Marketing to Go here to let you know that our office has moved. We are now located at Palm Coast Town Center behind FPC and near Epic Movie Theater at 145 City Place on the third floor. If you are looking for branding help, social media assistance, or marketing and public relations solutions for your company or nonprofit, give us a call at 566-3466 or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/marketingtogo. We look forward to creating a buzz about your business.
Let's face it, your customers are searching online. Are they finding you? Websites are drawing all the traffic. Your business needs to get better placement online and get noticed. At Marlin Consulting Solutions, located in Palm Coast, we use the latest SEO techniques to get you noticed online. I'm Jason Johnson, owner of Marlin Consulting Solutions. You can contact us at 386-957-9311 or find us online at marlincs.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to Against All Odds. My name is Howard Holly. I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel, and we're here with our guest, Dr. William Hebert, who is the president of Flagler College in St. Augustine, Florida. We were just talking, Dr. Hebert, about your 18 years as a admissions dean, but you also did a few other jobs in academics there at Flagler College as well. And I just want to make the point that a lot of people think about education careers just in the classroom, but there are really quite a few other job opportunities on the college campuses, are there not?
Oh, my gosh. It's when you start talking about a large university like the University of Florida, it's like a city. I mean, there are so many services, so many things that are provided by the university. But even a small college like Flagler, you know, we have students living in dormitories, so we have a residential life staff. We also serve 19 meals a week for all of our students. So we have a dining services staff. We have a bookstore. We have career planning offices. We have a financial aid office to help students who have financial need. We also have other support services. We have an entire business office that deals with, you know, all the student accounts and all the other accounts payable and receivable that we have in terms of doing business with various vendors. And then we have the capital side, which is the construction, renovation, and restoration of our facilities. And that's a major undertaking. Just in the, during the time that I have been president, we have had more than $60 million worth of construction and renovation and restoration projects.
So does that mean that you've raised $60 million in investments and donations?
We have raised probably about $40 million. Okay. And the other we have either taken out through bonds or we've had some other types of financing.
Okay.
But, you know, it is a big business, and I think once you start looking at a college campus and the various aspects, obviously instruction is the core mission of any institution of higher education. So faculty and things, the library is related to that, all kinds of laboratories. But it is big business, and we have to operate as a business. We can't operate irresponsibly, and we've got to make sure that our budgets are balanced and that we're not going to be running deficit budgets. So it's a challenge, but it's also very, very uplifting.
Yeah. Well, good. You know, this segment of our show, we often begin to pivot and talk about the whole purpose and premise of the show, which is that doing what comes naturally and easily isn't what really grows us to be great or excellent or to success, but it's overcoming obstacles and adversity, learning from that, and then putting that into your DNA. Mm-hmm. And earlier you said you agreed with that. But when people look at you, Dr. Barron, and look at your career and what you've said, they don't think you've had any. That, you know, you've just been a silver spoon from Mercer all the way through. Has that been the case?
You know that that is not the case. I guess a good example would be when I came to Flagler in 1971. As I said earlier, the college was only 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I had not graduated its first graduating class.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the college was not yet accredited. So for the average individual on the street and looking at that would probably say, well, what difference does that make? Well, it makes a huge difference, mm-hmm. because when you're talking to a prospective student and his or her family, and one of the questions that might come up is, what is your accreditation status?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you say, well, we're not yet accredited, then all of a sudden it's a turnoff,
mm-hmm.
and they just walk away. So in terms of overcoming adversity, the first 10 years that I was at Flagler, there was an emphasis on survival, as opposed to trying to build a distinguished institution.
Correct. Correct.
So trying to build the enrollment, which was the key thing, and to do that where the institution really did not have any constituents.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to imagine that in terms of fundraising, there weren't alumni out there.
Yeah, sure.
There was not a strong financial
base.
Which
ones were there had just started their careers.
Exactly.
So,
the early years of the college really required a lot of commitment, a lot of work, and dealing with adversity on a daily basis.
What would you say are the biggest challenges beyond the accreditation that you've had to constantly keep in the foreground of your strategy and your thinking?
Well, as you can imagine, and this is almost cliche, but it's something that I know from your business background that you can relate to, is that there's a surplus of ideas and there's a scarcity of resources.
Mm-hmm.
there's no shortage of good ideas. And here are some things that we could do. Here are some things that we could try. Here are some things that we ought to consider. But when you have a scarcity of resources, you have a limitation of resources, you have to be very careful in terms of making the right call.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have the freedom, you don't have the luxury of deciding something just simply by saying, well, we think this might work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a company like IBM might be able to do that. Disney might be able to do that. But most small companies cannot afford to make mm-hmm. big mistakes.
You can't. You can't survive.
Right.
And it's the old adage, failure is not an option.
Right.
And so what you're talking about is what we call decision making.
Correct.
Fact-based decision making.
That's correct.
Right. And so what you're saying is that even in an educational institution, that is a critical attribute and skill to develop.
But you know, that's an interesting thing because, and this is almost going to be a little contradictory to what I was saying earlier, but in the process of working on my doctorate, I did a lot of reading in the area of leadership, management, planning. And one of I wish I could remember the individual who made this statement, but it was one that really resonated with me, and it sticks with me even today. Is that decisions and decision making by its very nature involves risk.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't involve risk, it's not a decision,
mm-hmm.
it's a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're all familiar with the syllogism, A is to B is to C, therefore A is to C.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a conclusion. If I have all the information to make the right decision, then it's not a decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So in the history of our college, we did have to make some decisions that involved risk.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those risks you have to take.
Mm-hmm.
But in other cases, you have to be sure that the consequences of that risk are not going to be something that will turn back on the institution.
Yeah, so let's poke on that, because I think what you're saying is that in making decisions, there are some risks. You have to quantify that risk, and then you have to evaluate it against your goals and strategy. In other words, well, this risk we can take because this doesn't impact our overall ambition, right?
Yeah, I think, and the guiding structure for that, and I'm not, that's not the right word, but you always have to be mindful of what is the mission of your institution? Mm-hmm. What is your purpose? Mm-hmm. Because having a sense of purpose, having clarity of purpose, and understanding that you can't be all things mm-hmm. to all people, mm-hmm. that you have to focus your resources on those things that you can do well, those things that you can excel in. The university, I say this all the time. Flagler College cannot out university the University of Florida,
right?
In terms of scope of programs, in terms mm-hmm. of student life, in terms of athletics. So there's no point in us even trying. But the students who are going to come to Flagler are students who are looking for a different kind of experience. Mm-hmm. They're not interested in going to school with 50,000 students. Yeah. They're interested in small classes. They're interested in more personal contact with faculty, more opportunities for leadership, and those kinds of things on our campus.
But over the years, what you've built is a culture that permeates the campus. It becomes a part. It's transferable when people come to visit. It goes back to that discussion about a virtual tour. And so you've also got a brand and an image that you've established. And so you're not going to take risks that are going to jeopardize those things, because that's your magnet. That is, in fact, what differentiates you to the other campuses.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So branding and marketing are very, very important to us. Mm-hmm. And our brand is certainly, in part, our location,
yes.
Our building, mm-hmm. which is a very iconic building and in many ways launched the tourism industry in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. But it's as far as
the hotel,
as the Hotel yes. Ponce de Leon.
Mm-hmm.
And but it also has its own challenges, mm-hmm. because one of the principles that I've learned over the 14 years that I've been president is that rust never rests. And so we're constantly having to deal with some of the challenges that the building that was built back in 1888.
Yeah. Rust never rests. Well, with that, we're going to end our session here with Dr. William Hebert, the president of Flagler College. Sir, we very much appreciate this time with you, your insights and your thoughts. I'm of a belief that if one person hears this show and it changes them in some way, then it was well worth our time and hopefully theirs as well. Thank you again.
Well, thank you for having me.
We will be right back after this word from our sponsors for our, what do we call it? Driveway moments. What did we hear that we think we want everyone to walk away with? We'll be right back. You are listening to Against All Odds.
Hi, this is Gretchen Smith of the Flagler County Chamber. Our mission is to help local businesses thrive, which is also the name of our new business-to-business magazine. Thrive is a great tool for area businesses and others considering Flagler as their corporate home. With interesting content, business highlights, trending topics, and insights you won't find elsewhere, Thrive is produced by and for Flagler County businesses. To advertise in this quarterly magazine, call the Holly Group at 386-283-5907. Let us help you thrive.
Howard Holly Presents Against All Odds is being brought to you in part by Touchpoint Alliance. Touchpoint Alliance, a global alliance for communication excellence, headquartered here in Palm Coast, provides end-to-end communication solutions that help colleges, universities, and associations acquire, retain, and grow their customer base. Visit us at www.touchpointalliance.org, or for a free consultation, call us at 386-283-5906.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to Against All Odds with Kristen Wetzel, my co-host. My name is Howard Holly. Kristen, we just finished up with Dr. William Hebert, president of Flagler College. And as always, it was another very interesting interview.
It was, and he's been there forever. He, you know, started right at the beginning of Flagler College before they were even accredited.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to ask me about driveway moments.
Absolutely.
So what did you walk away with? Decision making and the difference between making a choice and coming to a conclusion. And how if there's no risk, then it's not a choice. Then you're just making a conclusion. So people, a lot of times, and I know I'm really guilty of this, will wait and we'll wait and we'll wait until a decision's made for us.
Yeah, one of the things that Dr. Barron and I share is the belief that if there's no risk, then it really shouldn't be a decision that's brought to me. It really should be something that people feel empowered to do. The things that should be brought to me should be the risk identified, the rewards identified, and we may move forward even knowing there are risks because we know what the benefits are.
Yeah, I mean that definitely. I was thinking of it a little differently. I'm thinking of like personal stuff, so I don't take that to other people, but you know, if you're making a decision in your own life.
Yeah.
Not so much in work. Yeah, work on the brain, Howard.
Yeah, but you know, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, no,
Much more of that. And of course, as president of a college, he has a lot of those decisions to make, and he needs people to make some of them for him, you know, and to bring to him those that are fraught with risk. And that's where he can apply his decision making.
And obviously, he's made some very good decisions for Flagler College.
Yeah, Flagler College is renowned.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're a great school in the community. Well, we're going to wrap up here. It's been another Saturday morning. We really appreciate that you joined us. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds. And your name?
Kristen Weitzel.
And we hope that you will have a blessed week as you face your challenges and obstacles. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.